understanding Karbala. A long time ago in Makkah, there were two brothers, Abu Shams and Hashim. They were direct descendants of Prophet Ibrahim. They were appointed to look after the pilgrims who came to Makkah. When Abu Shams died, his adopted son Umayyah thought that he would take his father's place. But because Umayyah was known to be dishonest, the elders of Makkah decided that he should not take over his father's duties, and instead Hashim should be given the responsibilities. Umayyah became angry and started being very rude towards Hashim. When the elders of the tribe saw this, they decided that he should not be allowed to remain in Makkah and was therefore sent to Syria. This was the beginning of the hatred of the Umayyah family towards the Hashimi family, which eventually led to the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. There were many different tribes living in Makkah. The tribe which came from Hashim were known as the Banu Hashim, and those from Umayyah as the Banu Umayyah. Hashim was the great-grandfather of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and that is why the families of the Prophet are known as the Banu Hashim. Although the Banu Hashim were not as rich as the Banu Umayyah, they were always respected more because they were kind and always ready to help others. This made the Banu Umayyah very jealous of them. When the Prophet started preaching, the people of Makkah gave him so much trouble that he decided to leave his home and go to Medina. In the second year of Hijrah, the Prophet's cousin Imam Ali alayhi salam married the Prophet's only daughter Fatima alayhi salam. They had four children, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Bibi Zainab, and Umm Kulthum. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was born on the 3rd of Sha'ban in the 4th year of Hijrah. The Prophet loved all his grandchildren very much. One day, when he was in sajda while praying in the mosque, Imam Hussein climbed on his back. The Prophet remained in sajda until Imam Hussein came down himself. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was always ready to defend Islam and fight against the evil leaders like Muawiyah, governor of Syria, and the great-grandson of Umayyah. Muawiyah severely punished anybody who spoke against him. He sent his army to fight against Imam Ali alayhi salam at Siffin in Iraq. They took over the river Euphrates and stopped Imam Ali alayhi salam and his army from getting any water. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, who are now young men, led a group of fighters and got back the control of the river from the enemy. Imam Ali allowed everyone to use the river, including the enemies. It was on this same river 23 years later that Imam Hussein alayhi salam fought his final battle for the sake of saving Islam. When Imam Ali alayhi salam became the Khalifa, that is leader of the Muslims, at the age of 57, he removed all the governors who were mistreating the people. Muawiyah refused to give up his post and continued to fight Imam Ali alayhi salam. Muawiyah ordered Ibn Muljim to kill Imam Ali alayhi salam. On the 19th of Ramadan, in the 40th year of Hijrah, Ibn Muljim struck Imam Ali with a poison sword while he was praying in a mosque in Kufa. On the 21st of Ramadan, Imam Ali died at the age of 63. After the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Hassan alayhi salam was chosen by the people of Kufa as their leader. When Imam Hassan saw the situation that the Muslims were facing at that time, he decided that it was in the interest of Islam not to fight Muawiyah. Imam Hassan signed an agreement with him that he would not oppose him as long as he did not make the Muslims suffer. Also, another condition was that after the death of Muawiyah, the people would be allowed to appoint their own leader. Muawiyah knew that there was no way he was going to succeed in his evil ways as long as Imam Hassan alayhi salam was alive. He promised Imam Hassan's wife, Jawda, that if she killed her husband, he would pay her 100,000 dirhams. He also promised to marry her to his son Yazid, and so Jawda poisoned Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Imam Hassan died on the 28th of Safar in the 50th year of Hijrah. The people were forced to accept Yazid as their leader after Muawiyah's death. After the death of Muawiyah, Yazid succeeded his father to the throne. Imam Hussein was then 57 years old. Yazid was known to be even worse than his father. On the 27th of Rajab, in the 60th year of Hijrah, he ordered Walid, the governor of Medina, to force Imam Hussein alayhi salam to swear allegiance to Yazid. Imam Hussein alayhi salam refused. He would rather die to save Islam than give his allegiance to Yazid. Next morning, on the 28th of Rajab, Imam Hussein, together with his family and a few companions, left Medina and headed for Mecca. When they reached Mecca, he came to know that Yazid had sent his people to kill him. He decided to leave Mecca because he knew that these killers would not hesitate to spill blood on this holy land. Meanwhile, the people of Kufa started sending letters to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, asking him to go to Kufa to help them against the oppressive rule of Yazid. Imam Hussein had seen how the people of Kufa had not come to his father's help when he needed them, and how they had mistreated his brother Imam Hassan. Still, he considered it as his duty to help anyone who needed him. He immediately asked his cousin Muslim ibn Aqil to proceed to Kufa, and he was going to follow him later. When Yazid came to know about what was happening in Kufa, he sent Ibn Ziyad, a well-known enemy of the Prophet's family, to Kufa, and ordered him to put all tribal leaders into prisons and arrest Muslim ibn Aqil. That evening, after prayers, when Muslim ibn Aqil was walking home alone in the dark alleyways of Kufa, he heard that Ibn Ziyad had offered a reward to anyone who handed him in. Muslim ibn Aqil ran into an old woman's house and hid there. When her son came to know about it, he reported him. Muslim ibn Aqil was arrested and then thrown from the rooftop of the governor's palace. His dead body was dragged in the streets of Kufa for everyone to see. Imam Hussein alayhi salam received the sad news while he was on his way to Kufa to join Muslim ibn Aqil. Ibn Ziyad was well prepared for Imam Hussein's arrival. Every road leading into Kufa was blocked and guarded by his troops. He sent an army of 1,000 men led by Hur to stop him from entering the city. By the time they met Imam Hussein's caravan, Hur and his troops had run out of water and were nearly dying of thirst. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam saw the state they were in, he gave them water even though they were his enemy. Hur spoke to Imam Hussein about his orders to stop him from entering Kufa. He told him not to continue towards Kufa, but to go to Karbala. Imam Hussein, together with his companions, reached Karbala on the 2nd of Muharram in the 61st year of Hijra. He set up camp by the banks of the river Euphrates, known as the Alqama. The land belonged to the Banu Asad. He told them that soon he and his companions would be killed and their bodies would be left unburied. He requested the Banu Asad to bury them after everyone had left. Imam Hussein bought the land from them and then gave it back as a gift. On the 3rd of Muharram, Ibn Ziyad sent an army led by Umar Sa'd. His orders were to get Imam Hussein to surrender to Yazid. When Imam Hussein refused, Yazid told Ibn Ziyad to send more troops. Ibn Ziyad ordered all the men in Kufa to come out and join the army to fight against Imam Hussein. Anyone not doing so would be killed. Meanwhile, Umar Sa'd ordered Imam Hussein to move away from the water side. Imam Hussein did not resist. They moved their camp several miles away. He did not want the people to think that the battle in Karbala was about water. By the 7th day of Muharram, Imam Hussein's camp had run out of water. The women and young children in his camp showed great patience as well as courage. The children were especially thirsty in the hot desert sun of Karbala. Who remembered how kind Imam Hussein was when he needed water? He asked Umar Sa'd to give water to Imam Hussein's camp, or at least to the children. But Umar Sa'd showed no pity. On the 9th of Muharram, a final warning was sent to Imam Hussein from Umar Sa'd that if he did not surrender, he would be killed. Imam Hussein refused to bow down to his threats. Imam Hussein and his companions spent that evening praying and reciting Quran. That night, Hur was feeling very guilty and blamed himself for bringing Imam Hussein to Karbala. He talked to his son and his slave about going to fight on the side of Imam Hussein. They agreed with his decision and went with him. When they reached Imam Hussein's camp, Hur, with tears in his eyes, said, "O my Imam, I'm so sorry for forcing you to come to Karbala. Please allow me to fight along with you. I would be honored if you would let me lay down my life first before anyone amongst you is killed. I have brought my son to die with me, defending your sons." Imam Hussein was deeply moved by Hur's words. He welcomed him, saying that he considered him his special guest. Hur was amazed by his kindness. It was time for morning prayers. Imam Hussein asked his son Ali Akbar, who looked exactly like his grandfather Muhammad, to give the adhan. After the prayers, Imam Hussein went to the enemy camp and explained to them who he was and what was his beliefs. He said that he was a peaceful man wishing to live a peaceful life and did not wish to harm anybody. By killing him, they would be committing a sin against the family of the Prophet. Imam Hussein made this speech so that later no one would be able to say that it was Imam Hussein who started this battle. Umar Sa'd became worried that Imam Hussein's words might change the minds of some of the troops. He stood up and said in a loud voice, "Everyone in my army bear witness that I am firing the first arrow in this battle." He put an arrow to his bow and shot it towards Imam Hussein's tent. There followed thousands of arrows towards Imam Hussein's camp. Back at the camp, Hur asked Imam Hussein alayhi salam for his permission to go and face the enemy. He mounted his horse together with his son and his slave and rode towards the battlefield. Hur faced the enemy and told them that until last night he was with them, but he realized just in time that by fighting on Yazid's side, he was going to fight against truth and justice. He asked them to think very carefully about what they were about to do. Omar Saad realized that if Hur was allowed to say any more, everything would be lost. He ordered his army to attack Hur, his son, and his slave. The son and the slave were killed first. Hur continued to fight bravely until an arrow struck him on his forehead and fell. Imam Hussein rushed to his side. He took a handkerchief which had belonged to his mother, Janabe Fatima alayhi salam, and tied it on his bleeding wound. He put his hand on Hur's head and said, "May Allah bless you, my friend." Hur died in Imam Hussein's arms. After Hur, one by one of Imam Hussein's companions went onto the battlefield and fought bravely against the enemy. On each occasion, when one of them fell, Imam Hussein, Hazrat Abbas, and Ali Akbar would rush out to be by the side of their dying companion. Imam Hussein's companions were determined that as long as one of them was alive, they would not allow the blood of Imam Hussein and his family spill in Karbala. From early that morning, Imam Hussein, together with Hazrat Abbas, Ali Akbar, and others, carried the bodies of their companions back to the camp. Although these brave soldiers did not have their own families to mourn their death, the ladies in Imam Hussein's camp cried for them as if they were part of their own family. As the sun rose higher in the desert sky, the heat became more intense by the minute. The children were crying for water. Some of the remaining companions approached the river banks to get some water, but were stopped by the enemy. They fought bravely and were killed in battle. Sadly, no water reached the thirsty children of Karbala. It was now midday, and the time of Dhuhr prayer was approaching. Imam Hussein led the prayers, while three of his companions stood in front of the prayer line to shield the Imam. The enemy fired arrows towards them, and by the time the prayer ended, the companions who were protecting them were dying of arrow wounds. All the companions had now been killed. Only Imam Hussein and a handful of his family were left to fight the huge army of Yazid. First, Ali Akbar asked for his father's permission to go to the battlefield. Imam Hussein looked at his young son lovingly and said how he reminded him of the Prophet in every way. He gave Ali Akbar his blessings and told him to go to his mother and aunt. Ali Akbar greeted his mother, Umm Layla, and Aunt Bibi Zainab. Umm Layla, with tears in her eyes, looked at the 18-year-old Ali Akbar and said, "Oh God, is it time for you to go?" With these words, she fell into Ali Akbar's arms and fainted. The battle drums of the enemies were now getting louder and louder. Ali Akbar went to the battlefield and faced the enemy with all that bravery that he inherited from his grandfather Imam Ali. He reminded the enemy that his father Imam Hussein spent his life in the way of Islam and did no harm to them. By spilling his blood, they were making the Prophet very sad. Umar Saad told his troops not to listen to Ali Akbar and ordered them to attack him. One by one, he fought them with great skill and killed many of them. Ali Akbar received several wounds and was losing a lot of blood. The thirst was getting more unbearable. At that moment, he longed to see his loved ones for the last time. Ali Akbar turned his horse back towards his camp. He found his father standing at the entrance of the tent, watching the battle between his beloved thirsty son and the enemy. Imam Hussein congratulated his son and then said, "I am sad that I do not have any water to give you." Ali Akbar met each and every one of his family. They were all in tears because they knew that this time he wasn't coming back alive. As Ali Akbar rode towards the battlefield, Imam Hussein looked up to the sky and said, "Allah be witness to the fact that I am sending my son, who looks like the Prophet, to be martyred for the sake of truth and justice." It was not long before Imam Hussein heard the painful cry from the battlefield. Ali Akbar fell with a fatal wound in his chest. He called out to his father to come to him quickly. Imam Hussein went towards his son and found him lying in a pool of his own blood. When he saw his son, he cried out, "Here I am, my son. Please talk to me." Ali Akbar was in great pain. The broken end of the arrow was sticking out of his chest, and blood was gushing out. Ali Akbar died in his father's arms. Imam Hussein lifted Ali Akbar carefully, as if protecting him from any more pain. He cried all the way back to his camp. When he reached the camp, Umm Layla, Bibi Zainab, Umm Kulthum, and other ladies and children all rushed out to see Ali Akbar. When Umm Layla saw how much Imam Hussein was crying, she said, "I am really proud of our son for sacrificing his life for such a noble cause. I pray to Allah that He may grant us patience." Aun and Muhammad felt that after the martyrdom of their cousin Ali Akbar, it was now their turn to go to the battlefield. They went to their mother Bibi Zainab to ask for her blessings. Aun and Muhammad assured their mother that they would fight with such bravery that whenever she thought of them, she would remember how brave they were. Bibi Zainab went to her brother to request him to let her sons follow in the footsteps of Ali Akbar. Imam Hussein looked at his sister and said, "My beloved sister, you have never asked me for anything before. How can I say no to you now?" He turned to Aun and Muhammad and said, "Go, my sons, be brave. I shall join you soon on your journey to the heavens." Bibi Zainab held them close and kissed them goodbye. Imam Hussein, Hazrat Abbas, and Imam Hassan's son Qasim stood by Bibi Zainab as she watched her sons go off to fight. Hardly a few minutes had passed when Aun fell from his horse and shouted for Imam Hussein. Just at that moment, another cry was heard, this time from Muhammad. Hazrat Abbas left Qasim with Bibi Zainab while he ran to the battlefield. Imam Hussein carried the body of Muhammad while Hazrat Abbas carried Aun. When they reached the camp, Bibi Zainab came over to see her sons and thanked Allah for accepting the martyrdom of her sons. Imam Hussein, Hazrat Abbas, Qasim, and the ladies were all crying by her side. Qasim told his mother that he would also like to go and fight for his uncle Imam Hussein. His mother Umme Farwa said, "My son, before your father died, he told me that there would come a time when his brother Imam Hussein would be surrounded by bloodthirsty enemies. He would have been proud to know that his son was ready to sacrifice his life for Imam Hussein." Qasim went to his uncle and told him about his wishes. Imam Hussein lovingly looked at him and said, "Whenever I wanted to see my brother, I would look at your face. How could I let you go out there and be killed? What would I answer my brother?" Umme Farwa turned to Imam Hussein and said, "You have cared for Qasim as if he was your own son. Your brother would have wanted Qasim to sacrifice his life for you, just as Ali Akbar, Aun, and Muhammad have." Imam Hussein gave his blessings to Qasim and helped him onto his horse. Qasim fought the enemy as if he was an experienced soldier and not a 14-year-old boy. He killed many, one after another. When Umar Saad saw the courage of this young fighter, he ordered his troops to attack him in force. They surrounded him from all sides and attacked him with swords, spears, daggers, and arrows. An enemy soldier hit him on his head with such force that he fell from his horse. Imam Hussein ran to him and found that his body had been torn to pieces. He sat near Qasim's body and cried so much that they could hear him back at his camp. "Oh my God, what have these people done to my Qasim?" Imam Hussein took off his robe and wrapped the pieces of Qasim's body and rode back to the camp. When Imam Hussein reached the camp, Umme Farwa came with Bibi Zainab on one side and Umme Kulthum on the other. Imam Hussein looked at them and said, "My dear ladies, have courage. Qasim's body may be cut to pieces, but his soul is now with his father Imam Hassan." When he opened the robe, the ladies cried and cried. Umme Farwa fainted from the shock. Soon, all of Imam Hussein's family were killed one by one. Only Imam Hussein and Hazrat Abbas were left. Hazrat Abbas looked at Imam Hussein and said, "It is now my turn to go and fight just like the others have done." Imam Hussein wept and said, "Abbas, if you go and fight, who will get water for the children?" Hazrat Abbas got on his horse and went to get some water. As he passed their camp, Imam Hussein's four-year-old daughter, Sakina, handed him her dry water bag and said, "Please get us some water. We are very thirsty." Hazrat Abbas took the bag and put it on his shoulder. He promised Sakina that, God willing, he would return with water for her. When Hazrat Abbas reached the river, the troops attacked him. He fought them so fiercely that they ran away. Hazrat Abbas filled Sakina's water bag and was about to ride back towards his camp. Qais, the commander of the enemy troops, ordered his troops to return and attack Hazrat Abbas. He warned them that if any water got back to Imam Hussein, then none of them would remain alive. The troops attacked Hazrat Abbas from all sides. All this time, Hazrat Abbas was more concerned about saving the water bag. During the fighting, his left arm was cut off. When the enemy saw that he was crippled, they surrounded him and cut off his right arm as well. Hazrat Abbas still did not let the water bag go. He held it between his teeth and prayed to Allah to keep him alive long enough to reach back to the camp and give water to his Sakina. An arrow struck the water bag and the water started gushing out. He could not get Sakina out of his mind, and he kept hearing her voice again and again. "Oh, my Uncle Abbas, please get me some water." The enemy continued their attack until Hazrat Abbas finally fell from his horse. Imam Hussein ran to him and put his head on his lap. Hazrat Abbas tried to open his eyes, but they were wounded and filled with blood. Hazrat Abbas said, "Thank God, you have come, my master. I thought I was going to die without seeing you. When I was born, I saw your face first. Please do not let me die without seeing it again for the last time." Imam Hussein wiped the blood from his eyes so that Hazrat Abbas could see him. Hazrat Abbas added, "Please do not take my body back to the camp. I do not want Sakina to see me when I could not even keep my promise to her." Imam Hussein said, "Oh Abbas, I also have one request for you. I have never heard you call me brother. For once, I would like to hear you call me brother." Hazrat Abbas, with his dying breath, called out, "My brother, my brother." Imam Hussein cried, "Oh Abbas, my beloved brother, what have they done to you? Who is now left to fight by my side now?" Imam Hussein walked back to his camp. When he got there, he found Umm Rubab with the six-month-old Al-Yasghar in her arms waiting for him. She said, "Our son is dying of thirst. Do something to save him." Imam Hussein covered Al-Yasghar with his robe and took him to the battlefield. He faced the enemy and said, "O soldiers, my baby has not had any food or water for the last 3 days. Please have pity on him and give him a few drops of water. What crime has this innocent baby committed?" The sight of this thirsty baby in the hot sun made some of the troops cry. When Umar Sa'd saw this, he realized that if he did not take any action immediately, then his troops might refuse. Ordered Hurmala to kill Ali Asghar. Urmala put an arrow to his bow and took aim. The arrow went right through Alyaswar's neck. Blood gushed out of his wound and splashed onto Imam Hussein's face. Alyaswar died in his father's arms. Imam Hussein walked back to the camp weeping with Alyaswar in his arms. At the door, he waited for a moment and then turned back. This he did 7 times, as if he was building his strength to face the mother of the baby who had been so brutally murdered. Umm Rubab looked at her husband's face covered in blood and cried out, "What have they done to my son? Did they even give him a drop of water before they killed him?" Imam Hussein said, "I pleaded with them to give him water, but instead they drenched him with blood." Umm Rubab said, "Please bury Alyaswar with your own hands. After you have gone, the army of Yazid will trample over the bodies of our beloved. I want my young son spared of such treatment." Umm Rubab and the other ladies and children were all crying. Imam Hussein looked up and said, "O Allah, bear witness that I have done my duty to the last." Imam Hussein looked around him. There was no one left. He walked towards the camp, weeping with all his heart, and called out, "O my dear ladies, come to me and hear my last farewell to you all. I am very sad to leave you, because I know how much you will suffer once I am gone." Everyone was crying. Imam Hussein turned to Bibi Zainab and said, "I am leaving the widows and orphans in your care. My dear sister, please look after my Sakina especially. She has never been separated from me even for a day. Please, dear sister, when you get water, give it to her first. She hasn't asked for water since her uncle Abbas died. Oh, Bibi Zainab, the enemies will take you prisoners and parade you in the streets of Kufa and Sham. This will be a very difficult time for you. Do not give up hope. You will have to be brave." Bibi Zainab, with tears rolling down her cheeks, promised her brother that she would not let him down. Imam Hussein held his sister close to him and said, "My dear sister, when you are finally free and return to Medina, give my very special salams to my daughter Fatima Sughra. I could not bring her with me because she was sick. She will be very sad to hear about what has happened in Karbala and Sham. Tell her that her father remembered her right to his last dying moment. Convey my salams to my people and tell them to remember our thirst whenever they drink water." Imam Hussein put his hand on Bibi Zainab's head and said goodbye to her. Imam Hussein went to say goodbye to the other ladies and children. He picked up his daughter Sakina and kissed her cheek, knowing that these same cheeks were going to be slapped by the cruel hands of Yazid's men. The look on Sakina's face as her father put her down broke his heart. Imam Hussein then went to his son Imam Zainul Abidin's tent. He lovingly touched his shoulder and said, "My son, wake up. The time has come for me to go and face the enemy." Imam Zainul Abidin opened his eyes and said, "Dear father, why are you alone? Where is my uncle Abbas and my brother Ali Akbar? Where are my cousins and your companions?" Imam Hussein replied that they had all died fighting bravely against the enemy. Imam Zainul Abidin was very sick.
and tried to get up so that he could join his father. Imam Hussein told him that his duty was to be with the ladies when they will be paraded in the streets of Kufa and Sham. You will have to be strong and stand by your aunt Bibi Zainab. Imam Hussein said his farewell. He got onto his horse called Zuljanah, given to him by his grandfather. Zuljanah would not move forward. Imam Hussein looked back and saw Sakina pleading with him not to go. He got down from Zuljanah and sat on the ground, holding his dear daughter, both of them crying. He explained to her that he did not want to leave her, but if he did not go, then Yazid will destroy Islam. He said, "What will I answer to my mother when she asks me why I did not save the religion of the Prophet?" Imam Hussein promised Sakina that he would be with her soon. Imam Hussein went to the battlefield wearing the Prophet's robe and turban. He faced the enemy and told them for the last time, "For those of you who still do not know, I am the grandson of the Prophet and on the right path. Yazid wants to lead you away from the truth. He does not follow the teachings of your Prophet." Umar Saad shouted to his men, "Do not be fooled by Imam Hussein's words. Attack him now." Arrows were showered on Imam Hussein. He charged into the battlefield like a lion, saying, "If you are determined to fight me, then I'm ready. Watch how the grandson of the Prophet fight. See how the son of Ali and Fatima fight. Even after 3 days of hunger and thirst, I am not afraid to die. For me, death is better than surrender." When the enemy saw Imam Hussein charging towards them, they thought for a moment that Imam Ali had come down from the heavens to take revenge on them. Many of them ran away. When Umar Saad saw the fear on their faces, he sent his bravest soldiers to fight Imam Hussein. There was not a single member in Yazid's army who could stand in front of Imam Hussein. The enemy troops surrounded him from all sides, but he defeated them all. Umar Saad stood back and watched, amazed at how Imam Hussein, who had suffered so much, was fighting so bravely. While Imam Hussein continued fighting, Angel Jibreel came down from the heavens and said, "O my Imam, Allah is indeed pleased with your bravery. The moment has now come for you to save Islam." Imam Hussein returned his sword back into the sheath so that he could prepare for Asr prayers. He did not delay his prayers even while he was in the middle of a war. When Umar Saad saw this, he ordered his army to attack him in force. Some of them threw stones, while some attacked him with swords and others with arrows. Imam Hussein was very badly wounded. He was bleeding from head to toe. Zuljanah stopped, and Imam Hussein fell, his body resting on the sharp blades of the arrows. Imam Hussein hit his hands on the burning sands of Karbala so that he may do his tayammum and begin his Asr prayers. Umar Saad ordered Shimr to behead Imam Hussein. Shimr, without any hesitation, beheaded our Imam. The earth trembled. The sky went red with rage. The sun went into eclipse. The whole earth was crying. Bibi Zainab ran to Imam Zainul Abideen and told him what had just happened. They stood silently, tears rolling down their cheeks. A strong gust of wind blew on the desert. They felt as if nature itself was crying with them. The silence was only broken by the beating of drums from the enemy camp. They were celebrating their victory. It was indeed a hollow victory, won by a well-fed, huge army fighting against a mere army of 72 brave warriors who died hungry and thirsty. That evening, the enemy soldiers rushed into Imam Hussein's camp and looted everything in sight. One of the men pulled Sakina's earrings off, ripping her earlobes. Sakina ran out of the tent crying, her ears bleeding. Outside, she met a kind old man. He wiped the blood from her ears. When Sakina saw how kind he was, she asked him if he would show her the way to Najaf, where her grandfather was buried. She told him that she was going to complain to him about how they killed her father and did not let her uncle Abbas bring any water for her. When the old man saw how sad Bibi Sakina was, he comforted her and then took her back to her auntie Bibi Zainab. The troops snatched the veils off the lady's head and then set fire to their tents. Bibi Zainab was very distressed. She turned to Imam Zainul Abidin and said, "You are now our Imam. Tell us what we should do now. Should we stay in our tents and burn, or go out without our veils?" Imam Zainul Abidin told her that it was their religious duty to try and save their lives. Bibi Zainab gathered everyone and waited outside while their homes burnt down. When the fire was out, they took shelter under one of the tents which had not been completely destroyed. That night, Omar Saad sent some bread and water to Imam Hussein's camp. When Bibi Zainab saw the bread and water, she cried. Imam Hussein and his brave soldiers had died hungry and thirsty, and now the same people who killed them were bringing bread and water to their widows and orphans. She looked at the sky and prayed to Allah to give her courage. Bibi Zainab remembered the words of her brother to give water first to Sakina. When Sakina heard that there was some water, she said, "Has my uncle Abbas come back? Dear aunt, please give some water to my brother Ali Asghar first, for he is the youngest." Sakina then started to cry. She remembered what had happened that day. There was no Uncle Abbas to bring her water, and there was no little Ali Asghar to play with. There was only sadness. The next morning, Omar Saad ordered that all the remaining members of Imam Hussein's family were to be taken as prisoners to Kufa. Imam Zainul Abidin pleaded with them to allow him to bury their martyrs, but the guards refused. They were made to wait in the hot sun while the enemy spent the rest of the day burying their own dead. The prisoners were chained around their necks, hands and feet, and put on bare camel backs. Imam Zainul Abidin was made to walk barefoot on the hot desert sand, even though he was sick. At the front of the caravan, the guards carried spears with the heads of our Imam and his loved ones. The guards beat the prisoners if they complained of anything. They did not even spare the youngest. Some children died along the way, and their bodies were left in the desert. By the time they reached Kufa, they were bruised all over their bodies. Ibn Ziyad, the governor of Kufa, ordered the streets to be decorated. When the caravan reached the city, the people were jeering and making fun of the prisoners. When some of the people saw the head of Imam Hussein on the spear, they turned their heads and started to cry. They felt guilty that they allowed this to happen to Imam Hussein, when the same Imam was ready to help them when they needed him. It was noon, and the sun was blazing hot. The children were crying of hunger and thirst. As the caravan reached the governor's palace, Bibi Zainab faced the crowd and said, "Do you know who your governor has killed? We are the grandchildren of your prophet. When your governor killed the prophet's loved ones, the skies cried and the earth shook. Where were you then?" There was complete silence in the crowd. Some of the people realized their mistake and started to cry with shame. When Omar Saad saw what was happening, he quickly led the prisoners into the palace. When Ibn Ziyad saw Imam Zainul Abidin in the palace, he ordered him to be killed straight away. Bibi Zainab ran in front of him and said, "You will have to kill me first. How dare you sit on this throne, which does not rightfully belong to you, and insult us? Listen, O son of Ziyad, we are the grandchildren of the Prophet. You should be ashamed of yourself. You claim to follow the Prophet's teaching, yet you have done everything to destroy his family." Ibn Ziyad was surprised at how brave this lady was. He thought that after all that they had suffered, they would not have the strength to face him. More and more people started to realize that what Bibi Zainab was saying was true. Ibn Ziyad ordered the prisoners to be taken to the prison next to the palace immediately. He told Shimr and Khuli to make preparations to take the prisoners to Sham before they had a chance to speak out in public again. As the caravan was leaving Kufa, people watched from the rooftops. Bibi Zainab and the other prisoners continued to tell the people about what had happened in Karbala. Many people started to speak out against Ibn Ziyad. On the journey, the prisoners again suffered in the hands of the guards. When the caravan reached Sham, the prisoners had to wait in the hot sun while Shimr went to Yazid's palace to announce their arrival. Yazid had declared that day the day of celebration. Every corner of the city was decorated. The prisoners were finally taken to Yazid's palace. Yazid looked at little Sakina and said that he was going to have this little girl as his slave. Bibi Zainab was furious. She shouted, "Oh Yazid, have you lost all your sense of shame? You want to make the grandchildren of the Prophet your slave?" Yazid shouted at Bibi Zainab, "I am the truthful one. Allah is pleased with my victory. He has humiliated your family and caused the death of your brother Imam Hussein." Bibi Zainab was very angry at Yazid. She could not just stand there while this wicked and corrupt man spoke like this. She said, "Do you think that it was Allah who made you commit these awful crimes? Do you blame Allah for the sufferings that you have caused us? Do you blame Allah for the death of the grandson of the Prophet? No, Yazid, it was you who caused all these sufferings. Did you think that by killing the grandson of the Prophet, you have won the battle? No, Yazid, You haven't. It is my brother Imam Hussein who, by shedding his blood in Karbala, has made sure that evil men like you would not be allowed to destroy Islam. The victory is not yours. The victory is of Imam Hussein. The victory is surely of Islam. Yazid was amazed at how this lady, after all that she had gone through, could talk to him like this. He thought that Imam Zainul Abidin would be an easier target for his insult, as he looked too sick to be able to answer him back. He therefore turned to Imam Zainul Abidin and said, "Well, who do you think the winner of this war is?" Imam Zainul Abidin replied, "Yazid, victory can only belong to those who are on the right path. Look at you, and then look at my father Imam Hussein. My father, who you ordered to be killed so brutally, was the grandson of the Prophet. Yazid, you are the grandson of Abu Sufyan, who was an enemy of the Prophet and Islam, just as you are." Yazid immediately ordered the adhan to be recited, as if to prove his faith. When the reciter said, "Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah," Imam Zainul Abidin turned to Yazid and said, "O Yazid, listen. The Messenger of Allah who is mentioned in the adhan, is he your grandfather or ours?" Yazid was so angry that he ordered the prisoners to be taken away immediately and put into the prison. As soon as the prison doors were closed, they started saying their prayers to thank Allah. In the prison, it was so dark that you could not tell whether it was day or night. The days were so hot that it was difficult to breathe, and the nights were so cold, the Sakina's toes would turn blue. They had nothing to sleep on but the bare floor. One night, Sakina suddenly started to cry in her sleep. When her mother asked her what the matter was, she said that she saw her father in her dreams, telling her that he could not bear to see her in this state anymore. Everybody started to cry so much that the noise reached Yazid at the palace. He asked the guards what all the noise was about. When they told him what it was, he ordered that Imam Hussein's head be taken to Sakina in order to keep her quiet. The guards brought the head and put it on the ground. When Sakina saw her father's head, she ran to it and hugged it. All the ladies were stricken with grief. Sakina complained to her father about how the evil man snatched her earrings that he had given to her, how they took away their veil and burnt their tents. Suddenly, Sakina stopped complaining and was completely quiet. "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Sakina, the loving daughter of Imam Hussein, passed away. Imam Zainul Abidin buried her in a small grave in one corner of the prison. All the ladies sat by Sakina's mother Rubab and cried. Sakina will finally be able to sleep on her father's chest once again. After the death of Sakina, the people of Sham started to question Yazid about the prisoners. Many felt that they had already spent so long in prison in the worst possible condition. What crime had they committed to deserve such treatment? Yazid realized that if he did not do anything to change the situation, the people would turn against him. He made arrangements for the prisoners to be brought to the palace court to be set free. Many people were invited to see the event. When everybody was seated, an announcement was made that the great grandson of the Prophet was entering the court. The ladies of his household were seated behind the curtain, which was put up especially for the occasion. When Imam Zainul Abidin walked in, everyone stood up. They could not believe what they saw. Even though the chains had been removed, he could hardly walk. His neck, hands and feet were deeply cut and bleeding. His back was bent because of the way he had been chained. But there was dignity in his face. Never at any time had he bowed down to Yazid. Yazid told Imam Zainul Abidin that they were free to leave and offered them any amount that they required. Bibi Zainab said from behind the curtain, "Oh Yazid, haven't you done enough to us? Do you still want to insult us by this offer? Your actions can only be judged by Allah. You will have to answer to him and the Prophet for all that you have done. All that we want are the heads of our martyrs and our property, which your men looted from us. They took away the veil that was given to me by my mother. They took away the blood-stained clothes of my brother. They took away Sakina's earrings which were given to her by her father. No, Yazid, there is nothing that you can give us to replace these things, which mean more to us than anything else." Yazid was amazed at her answer. He promised to give back everything that was taken from them in Karbala. Imam Zainul Abidin and the rest of the ladies and children stayed in Sham for a few more days and then made preparations to travel to Karbala to pay their last respect to their martyrs and then go back to Medina. They went back to the prison to say goodbye to Sakina. Sakina's mother, Rubab, fell on the grave crying, "Oh my dear Sakina, we are finally free to go home. But my child, you are still imprisoned in Sham. What will I tell your sister Fatima Sughra when she asks about you? My Sakina, I am leaving, but my heart and soul will always be here with you. Please, O people of Sham, look after the grave of my child, Sakina." Finally, the grandchildren of the Prophet left Sham. Imam Zainul Abidin led the caravan towards Karbala. Everyone was very quiet. They were all thinking about their loved ones. When they arrived in Karbala, they sat by the graves crying and remembering that tragic day on the 10th of Muharram when they lost so many of their loved ones. Finally, after saying goodbye to their martyrs, they started the journey back to Medina. How sad this journey must have been. Even though they were free, their hearts were in Karbala and Sham. When the caravan reached Medina, Fatima Sughra ran to her aunt Bibi Zainab and her brother Imam Zainul Abidin and asked them about her sister Sakina. When they told her that she had died in the prison in Sham, she screamed, "Oh my God, if my Sakina was not there, then who played with my little brother Ali Asghar?" Imam Zainul Abidin held her close and said, "My dear sister, those evil men did not even leave our innocent little brother. When his throat was dry from thirst, instead of giving him some water, they shot an arrow right through his throat. Oh, my sister, how can I explain to you the pain and grief that our father had to go through when he carried the body of his young son Ali Akbar? Fatima Sughra could not take it anymore. She fainted in the hands of her brother. Everyone around them was crying. Such sorrow had never before been seen in Medina. Bibi Zainab visited the grave of her grandfather, the Prophet. She sat by his grave and complained with tears in her eyes, "Oh, my grandfather, look at what Yazid and his men did to your grandchildren. They killed your most beloved grandson, Imam Hussein. They killed Abbas when he went to get water for Sakina. They killed Ali Akbar, who looked like you. They killed my brother's son, Qasim. They killed my son's own and Muhammad. They did not even leave little Ali Asghar. Oh, my dear grandfather, your beloved Sakina is also gone. She died in the dark prison of Sham." Bibi Zainab then went to the grave of her mother, Bibi Fatima, and said, "Oh, my dear mother, look at what they have done to us. Look at these blood-stained clothes of your son. Oh, my mother, they paraded us in the streets of Kufa and Sham without our veils." A voice came from the grave, "My dear child, I saw what they did. I was there when they beheaded my son. I was there when the guards slapped Sakina just for crying for her dead father. I was there when they paraded you on the streets without your veils." Bibi Zainab cried, "Oh, my dear mother, I have so much to tell you." Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. And think not of those who are killed in the way of Allah as dead. Nay, they are alive, being provided sustenance from their Lord. Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 169. This recording is from a book, Understanding Karbala, by Siddiqa Juma, published in Muharram 1417, corresponding to May 1996, and has been read by Murtaza Bandali.